Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know what you've done.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now radio show brought to you by the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, also known as NASCA. My name is Charlie Stecker. I'm going to be your host for this evening's show. It is April 8th, 2020. We are in the midst of our coronavirus shut-in, or whatever you want to call it. I'm in a corona-free zone. I'm actually in my office, where I have lived since just a few days before this pandemic broke, because I saw it coming. Anyway, that's not about tonight. Tonight is Special Guest Wednesday. That is right, Special Guest Wednesday. That means tonight we are going to have a special guest that will share whatever it is on their heart to share that involves their story, or maybe something else that's on their heart, because tonight is their show, their time to share what they want to. As you know, if you've listened to the show from the past, and as you don't know if you haven't, what we will do is before I begin bringing the special guest on tonight, I'll bring each panelist in that calls in. And if you'd like to be a panelist, we would love for you to come on the panel. The call-in number for that is 646-595-2118. I'll repeat that, 646-595-2118 is the call-in number to join the panel. And once you're on the panel, like I said, I will introduce each of you before we bring in the special guest for his first part. And about every 15 or 20 minutes, I'll bring you back. So in between that time, I will be muting your mics. Don't be offended when you hear that happen. It's just so that we can keep any background noise out of interfering with our special guest's story and what they want to share with us this evening. Our special guests are Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I am blessed each Wednesday night to host this show and occasionally co-host, so I'm really happy to be here. And as I always say, as much as I want to hear our special guest story tonight, I do look forward to the day when we've actually been able to say our NASCA family isn't growing quite as fast because not as many children are growing up to become adult survivors of child abuse. But until that day happens, we have NASCA, we have each other, we have family. And speaking of family, if you're listening to this show for the first time, perhaps live tonight, perhaps the archives sometime down the road, and you're wondering, do I belong in this family? Well, you didn't end up listening to this show by accident, so welcome to the family, and yes, I am your crazy brother, Charlie Stecker. All right, well, enough about me. Let me introduce our special guest biography from what I have here. And I'm going to do that, and I'm going to bring on each of our panelists, and then, like I said, our special guest. Tonight's special guest is none other than Rick Constantino from New Hampshire. He is a returning NASCA family member and a survivor of sexual assault, physical abuse, and emotional trauma from a very early age. Rick was raped while in foster care when he was 5 years old. Later, Rick's mother reunited the family, and Rick tried to put the horror he'd experienced out of his thoughts. Between the ages of 12 and 13, or somewhere in that area, Rick began using drugs, burned himself out at the age of 14, and at 16 he left home. He became a tough guy, fighting to prove he was a man. Rick explains, "I walked through life angry and hateful. My ex kept asking me, what's wrong? I finally told her. And she was disgusted and viewed me as less of a man. Oh, Rick, I'm so sorry that happened to you, brother. My marriage was over. Planning to use a gun to commit suicide," Rick says, "as I started to squeeze the trigger, My mother came to me clear as a bell in my mind. She said she loved me. She said I was needed. I got angry again, only this time I was angry at the people who hurt me and couldn't let them win by me dying. Amen. Praise God you're here, Rick. Rick felt the first time telling the world his story was freeing. He felt whole for the very first time in his life. Last year, his sister heard the radio show and was angry because she said Rick was telling her story. Although they never talked about abuse, his sister was disgusted with Rick, and they haven't spoken in a year. Recently, Rick tried to tell his second wife, but she replied that if he didn't like it there, he could leave. Rick relates, this time it's totally different. I'm not low. I have no interest in dancing with a gun, and I know I could be of service to others who are living like I did. I'm alive. I'm living proud with no shame, and so they can say, I am stronger today. I know I'm in an elite group. I am a survivor. And Rick, I'm going to introduce you to a new word, my brother, tonight, and that is a transcender. You are a transcender. You are not just a survivor. You have transcended, risen above that which came against you. So welcome, Rick. In the meantime, let me go ahead and bring in each of our panelists in no specific order, just in the way I see them on the screen. We're going to travel to New Jersey right now, which is one state over where I'm from. I'm in Pennsylvania in the Pocono Mountains of Pennsylvania. I call it Pennsylvania. But anyway, let's go say hello to Linda in New Jersey and have her come on board. Good morning or good evening, Linda. Good morning. Somewhere it's morning.
Hi, Charlie. So good to hear you. You were the friendly host when I told my story, so it's so good to hear your voice. And hello, Rick. I am so happy to hear your story, and I'm going to be quiet and listen.
Well, thank you, Linda, for being here. And thank you so much for your kudos. I do have a hard time accepting them, but I'm learning to say thank you. So I appreciate that. You be blessed. And every time I have a hard time is because I don't do what I do looking for accolades. I do what I do because it's my way of giving back. But thank you so much, Linda. We truly appreciate being here. We'll have you back on here in about 15, 20 minutes once we hear
from
our special guest.
Looking forward to it.
And next is my amazing co-host, I would call her Mrs. Maska herself, although she's not Bill's wife, let me clarify that. But if this being done around Maska, Joe's got her hands in it somewhere doing something. Hey, Joe, good evening and welcome.
Hi, Charlie. Thank you very much. And I'm looking forward to hearing from Rick. And thanks for hosting tonight. All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Maybe I'll call you Mrs. Naska instead of Miss. Mrs. So, all right. Well, I love you, Joe. I'm glad you're here with us. Next, we're heading off to Washington State. Yep, that's right. Clear across the other side of the country. Actually, we flew out to Oregon with Joe. So while we're on that side of the country, let's stop in and see Penelope in Washington. Hey, Penelope, you're on the air.
Hi, Charlie. Good evening, everybody. Happy to be here and looking forward to the show tonight.
Well, we're happy to have you. Thank you so much for calling in and becoming one of our regular on our panel. We truly appreciate you being here. And
I appreciate the opportunity to do it. Thank you.
Absolutely. And we'll have you back on in about 15, 20 minutes. We'll see how the pace goes with Rick. Next, we're going back a little bit west or east. Yeah, east. I get my compass on correctly here. We're going to stop by Nevada. We're going to check out Sylvie. Sylvie, you are on the air.
Hi, Charlie. I always enjoy you because you're so full of life and you're funny as hell. And I really, really enjoy it when you host. I wish you hosted Monday because that's when I'm going to be doing my talk on the 27th. Rick, I am profoundly moved already by your story. I can't wait to hear more. You're not only a survivor, you are a thriver. You are a thriver and a fighter because people have re-victimized you over and over when you have told the truth. And I can so see that. I see that in my own life. And that's why these stories are so valuable, because you can see your story in them. May I say just one thing? I've been going through a literal nightmare with my tenant who has been attempting to murder me by COVID-19. And, three police calls, all this and that. I have gotten so much support from that volunteer list Thank you very much, Carol from New Jersey. Thank you, Sean, 20-year law enforcement veteran. Oh, my God, the perfect person to call, because the popo out here in the courts and the constable are absolutely pathetic, do nothing. And also Pastor Deborah, thank you so much for supporting me. And I just want to let you know that I ordered my cards, my cards last night. And so I'm identifying myself as a volunteer, as a survivor activist, and a member. And I am going to be passing out, and I am going to be working for NASCA. And I'm going to give it back in spades. Thank you.
Well, Sylvie, thank you so much. And what Sylvie was mentioning there, it bears repeating in the essence of, folks, if you've not been to NASCA site, or maybe you've been there and you're not sure what to do, or maybe you've been there and you're looking at things, you don't want to make that call. Many of us, including myself, have our personal phone numbers on there. You can get direct contact with us. If you're running into a situation you need somebody to talk to for whatever reason, reach out to us. Our numbers are on the NASCA. Go to naasca.org, and you'll find many different people to contact. And Sylvie, thank you for your testimony there of how that is working and worked in your life and will continue to. I appreciate you.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. You're very welcome. Well, our special guest has been patiently waiting for a few minutes now, and he's like, Charlie, just get me on there, will you? So without further ado, not sure what ado is, except that stuff I find on the grass in the morning when I wake up. Let's bring on Rick out of New Hampshire. Good evening, Rick, and welcome.
Good evening, Charlie. It's nice to meet you.
Likewise, we're practicing social distancing, cyber style.
I'm in my own cocoon here, so I'm safe.
Nice, yeah. Well, I figured, Rick, they're trying to keep us apart 6 feet. Either we're going to be 6 feet away on top of the earth or 6 feet apart under the earth. I don't know which one it's going to be, but we are glad to have you here this evening, Rick. As I say a lot of times, and I truly mean it, is that, you know, we're happy to hear your story. We can't wait to hear your story. You know, it's like, boy, it's sad that we even have to have these stories. But the fact that today, in this day and age, in this time, that we can share our stories, we don't have to hide and hinder. I just let out last year about my sexual trauma from the military. I never told anybody. And it's empowering. It is. And so welcome. Tonight is your show, Rick. I know you've been on the show before. I'm correct, right?
Yes. Yes, I have. And there was... is a lot. I'm getting a lot of joy today. The first time around, it was scared shitless. But now I'm proud to be here, and it's all on a good level. It's nice to be here and not have the anguish that I was feeling the first time around. But it was definitely one of the major steps of me getting to where I am today. That's for sure.
Well, absolutely. And as I saw you identified, your biography identified you as a survivor, and as you were encouraged by one of our other panelists, you're also a thriver. And as I learned, who I became, a transcender. We overcome the ability of what's happened to us, and especially when I can identify with some of what your story says here, with the tragedy in foster care, the denial of family members and loved ones from wanting to hear you, and then being there, the people you think will support you the most, almost abandoning you, the wanting to take your life. You know, boy, so much of your story, it's not the same in the total context, but the background of it all is very, very similar. And, you know, I'm just glad you're here, man. You know, if you were going to be a failure at anything, I'm glad we were both failures at taking our lives, because we wouldn't be having this conversation right now.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Now, somebody's got our theme music playing in the background. I can hear it. Not sure why we're picking that up. If someone could check their sound, they might be. I don't know why that's happening, but I apologize. Rick, again, it's your show. I don't give a format unless the special guest needs it. I figure, especially someone who's been on here before, I want you to share whatever is on your heart to share at this moment, be it your whole story, be it a portion of it, be it where you were yesterday, or where you are today, or where you're going to go tomorrow. It's up to you.
Well, I just, you know, from the back to the beginning of when you said the foster home thing, and I don't know, and people really know, but when that all came out, and like I had my whole family just was gone. I mean, they didn't really, you know, no contact, 15 years or whatnot. And a couple of years ago, my sister out of the blue reached back out. And I was like, and it's so joyful. But my wife, she saw it and I didn't. And it wasn't a good thing. It worked out to be just the worst 3 months of my life. But also it ended all these wants and you know, why don't I have my family? And when I told my sister, what she said, she heard that show while she was supposedly looking for me, even though I was out on Facebook, you could have just put my name in, found me anytime. So I knew that was bullshit. But when she said to me, she was angry at me. And I said, well, what do you mean angry? She said, well, you're telling my story. She was in the same foster home. The same house.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at her. I said, well, you never talked about this to anyone, did you? She said, no. I said, then how am I telling your story? I said, this happened to me. And it was still didn't get a click. You know, it was like, oh, well, that's what happened to me. It happened to her in the same house by the same people.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know this. I didn't even know it at all. But it was. She's still not there, and it was just a nasty get-together. That brought it all back for a couple of days, and my wife knew it, saw it coming when we were there. I mean, we went and visited her in Florida at Disney World. She was in some competition. We ended up moving to Palm Springs, and I was so excited, you know, that finally I have at least a family member back. And I had called Bill because way back before I even went on the first show, Bill said to me, you know, I told him how I did this dance with a gun every night. I was getting drunk and nobody, you know, it didn't matter. And I just never followed through until I had that, you know, that vision. And Bill said to me, and Bill told me, he said, listen, you have a family here. And I kind of blew it off back then. I really did. And I blew it off and I said, okay, you know, thanks and bop. And then I told my story, and it was the big major first step. It wasn't like the healing, the grand, you know, thing I was over. No, it was just the big step of the beginning to where I am today. So my wife and I, when that happened with my sister, it caused a little with us, and, you know, I didn't know which way to go, and I had to take a step back from this marriage for a couple of months, you know, and I was really, for, you know, just to get my stuff together. And I got it full. So, like, my wife today is, you know, tough love type of thing, whatever it was. She never left me, none of that love. You know, it all stayed, you know, solid. And we're solid. But when Bill said, you got a family now, and after all that was over, and I've always been here. I've always gone to NASCA if I was in a little feeling down or something, just to see the goodness. But it connected with me about family. They're always there for you. And I would see people on the private group just say, hey, I'm having a hard time. That's all they would post. Or they would say, I need someone to talk to. And sure as the day rises in the morning, the sun, that somebody was there. I'm here. Talk to me. PM me. And it wasn't just one person. It was like truly people that cared that didn't even know these people. So I want Bill to know, if he's listening, Bill, this is my family. I love all of you in this. I love Bill. I love every one of you. And I consider every member of this group now that I have thousands of siblings. I didn't lose three. I have thousands of brothers and sisters. And that's what this format here is truly not just a BS game. It really is a true family. So proud of everyone here. Proud of anyone who just comes on this site. I'm proud of anyone that takes that step of just writing it down, because I know how hard that is. You know, and the first time you write it, you can't see through your eyes. You know, the pain, the crying, but you got to get that story out. And, you know, it's just, this is a fantastic group, fantastic. Just save my life. I love this place to death. I'm always constant talking about it, you know, and just thank you guys. That's what I want to say. Thank you all. I love you all, and I'm just so happy to be here. Especially you, Bill. Especially you, Bill Burry. If you're out there, I could see you. I give you a big hug. I love you to death, Bill.
Bill is listening. I'm just being told he is listening, and he says thank you.
You're welcome.
So, yeah, Bill Murray, for those of you who don't know, he is the gentleman who was led to begin NASCA, and he's our president. He's the grand poupon of all of this, and we all owe a debt of gratitude for Bill's vision and bringing this family together. So, Rick, yes, you're stuck with a crazy brother named Charlie from Pennsylvania, originally from Philly. Sorry, brother, that's just the way it is. But you shared a lot already, and I can tell you I heard a couple times, and maybe I'm wrong. I could be, but I thought I heard a bit of a voice crack there. And am I wrong?
No, you're not.
Okay. Well, I want to let you know.
No.
I know we haven't met. I know we're on radio. I know the world could be listening. But if you need to let a tear out, brother, if you need to let that emotion out, ain't nobody here going to judge you. We're going to let you do what you got to do, because how you feel at that moment is real, and we're here for you no matter what's going on.
Yeah, okay? I learned that. I mean, crying is healing. But that was a joy crack. That wasn't a pain crack. I'm happy. And I have not been this secure, happy, and looking in the mirror ever in my life until, you know, how my life is right now. You know, I just,
absolutely.
I'm tears of joy, if you could say that. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I definitely can identify. Tomorrow's a huge day in my life, but that's a day for a story for another day. I know, Rick, one of your you have something to do with tiles in your life. Well, what do tiles have to do with your life?
Well, I had to do it on the Facebook because I got a lot of strangers who would just come onto my Facebook, and they would say things like, you know, your son is here, and you know, or I would see someone would say, you know, I know you, and you know, it was what you did, and all this because of my ex-wife, I only got one ex-wife, but the ex-wife, instead of telling people why we're not, you know, why we got divorced, she fabricated this whole thing about me being a very mean, violent man who assaulted her, hit her, abused her. My kids said that, you know, they haven't talked to me in all these years. And I would say, well, that's not true. And then I would show them the proof. You know, I mean, they contact me just to trash me and say that I was the worst father. My oldest son said he can't wait till I die. He could dance on my grave. I mean, this is how bad it got with my family. My ex-wife told people that I'm a drug addict, which I've never done drugs. I mean, granted, I'm going to be almost 60. So, I mean, when I was in the 20s, yeah, people did cocaine lines every now and then. I was never a coke. I never was into that. I smoked pot, you know, drink beer, but never a drug addict. She told people that I'm not safe around small children. This is the mindset of people who don't get, you know, male survivors of rape. They think that if what happened to me, I'm automatically, that's in their narrow mind. And I am nowhere near that. If you know me, the people that know me, there's nowhere near it. And then it got changed to, I was violently beat this woman. Now, if you met me, if I hit you once, there'd be a mark or a bruise. Or, you know, I was never violent. My violent rages were alone in a room. I would break my hands on doors and walls. Never did I hit a child. I've never abused an animal. I've never hit anyone, you know, weaker than me, a woman, but they would rather have that view of me instead of them being honest to say, he's a survivor. This is why he was so angry. He was a survivor of a rape. My own children can't say that. They say something else. And one of this woman, she works for a police department in a local town down the road. She says that my younger son is there and says that he wishes that he had his father in his life. And I said, well, you know, I've always been here. They tell the story that I walked out 15, 8, 20 years ago, and they've never seen me since. Well, my youngest son and I reconnected. I flew him out to California when I was out there. We spent weeks in Santa Barbara. I had to go to Phoenix for a week. I took him with me, and my wife And then we had to go to San Antonio after that. This was all for work. So he came along with us. My ex-wife found out, called him, and that next day he said, I have to go home, and he has not contacted me since. But he's
wow.
actually sitting there saying to a woman that I walked out. This is the story my ex-wife has put out there. So, that was the bigger struggle, like for me to be put into a light, which I'm not, and my kids are following suit on that. And then my older brother, he passed away, God rest his soul, a couple of years ago. Well, my sister stayed in touch with my ex-wife, flew her out to my brother to say goodbye. My brother's laying there saying to my ex-wife, is there any way that you can contact him? He wants to say goodbye. And my ex-wife stood there staring at my dying brother and said, I haven't heard from him in 15, 20, 18 years.
Wow.
Which was a straight lie. So when I reconnected with my sister a couple of years ago, and I went to my sister-in-law's house, and I apologized, I'm sorry I wasn't there. I didn't know. I didn't even know he was sick. I didn't know he was dying. I didn't know anything. If I had known, my wife will tell you, I would have flew out there. And, that's the way I am. They're showing these slides, and there's my ex-wife standing over my brother before he dies. And she's got this shitty grin on her face, like she's smiling. So when I looked at my sister and my sister-in-law and my niece and my nephew, I said, look, and I put up this message from the Facebook that she was talking to me less than a year before he died. And she stand there and say that, she made me look like I was walked out on my kids and never talked to them again. It was just so nasty and evil, and I know what evil is in this world, and I know that it hurts, and I know that it could really break a soul. It could break a soul bad if you let it. I know I'm better. I know I'm better than that. Just the lies. And that's the part that I had a hard time with. I mean, why make me out to be something I'm not when I'm already trying to deal with what I am, But today,
well,
no, I don't. Go ahead.
No, you please. I'm here. I'm listening.
Well, I was just going to say today, I grasped it. And some might say, well, you should always keep trying. My door is always open for my sons. If they want to get rid of that anger that their mothers put onto them, I can't fight that. I'm not going to trash my kid's mother to my kids. I've never done that in my life. I never will. But I've done so much to say, here, let's start over. And it's just been kiboshed by a woman who, I don't know if she's homophobic. I don't know what the mindset is to see a man who was raped as a child. I mean, I was five, and it went on for a year and a half. I didn't get out of that dungeon until I was six and a half, almost seven. So those were like, nightly, almost nightly of in the middle of the night of being raped. I mean, in my sleep, I wake up to pain. I've learned at a young age how to get out of my body. And like someone said to me, I have asbestos fingers when I cook. The tolerance of pain is nothing to what I'm engineered or wired in my head to do. I had to get stitches. I cut my leg. I had to get stitches. They wanted to give me the Novocaine. I said, no, I'm good. So that pain of what she did, just in my character hurts so much more than, me picking up a hot skillet. I swear to God, that's the worst pain. I would never wish that on anyone or even my worst enemy. I would not wish that kind of pain. So struggling with it as a man's view, women, I really do. I mean, takes away your soul when that happens. I don't care what the age is. But, for a man in my sitting spot, taking away your manhood, that could, if you let it, it could. I stand tall now. If I hear people talking, they'll making jokes or cracks about it. And then when I just turn seriously and say, well, what if it happened to you? Oh, it would never happen to me. Don't say never. Don't
yeah,
say
exactly.
never. You don't know. How would you handle it? Oh, if it happened to me, I'd die. I said, believe me, you would want to. And then they say, well, how do you know? And then I tell them. And then they look at me at all a little differently, you know.
Right.
It's a messed up thing. It's not just, you know, it's not just that one violent act. I mean, it really changes your life. It could end your life, but it really changes it. So why more so I'm here on this group is when I see these men and, you know, they're struggling, I feel for them. Like, I understand them. Women, I don't know how to be comforting other than to say I'm sorry, you know, because a man did that to them. So it's hard to get yourself wrapped around it, you know. It's a tough gig. It really, really is. And so I don't know how to explain it. It's just a strong, I mean, you got to be strong. I mean, if you survive that thing, you're already stronger than most humans. I don't care what age you are. If you've survived, you're stronger than anybody around you. It's I don't know.
That's right.
I don't know.
Well, what I do know is we've been going about 20 some odd minutes now. Would you mind doing a round with the with our panel?
No.
Okay, and I got a special message from Rick. I mean, I got a special message for you, Rick, from Bill, saying he really appreciates your kind words and thank you again. So,
well, Bill, tell him when Bill. I'll just say real quick, Bill. Once this lockdown changes and I come down there to Florida, I'll give you a big hug.
There you go. In the meantime, here's a cyber distance, social distance hug. And I'm saying I'm starting, and I'm actually working with my daughter's fiance, creating a curriculum for post-traumatic social distancing therapy, so people learn how to shake hands and say hello again and walk up to each other. But let's go ahead and bring on our panel one at a time. Rick, I'm going to bring on Linda out of New Jersey first. So she's just down the road from you a little bit. Linda, you are on with Rick.
Thanks so much for sharing, Rick. I can relate to so much of your story. And you're right. This is a tough gig, and no one would choose it. You know, I recently reconnected with some of my family. And what you were saying about how when they destroy your character, that hurts worse than the actual abuse. I find that right now in my healing process, that is the toughest thing. I have relatives in Hungary, in another country. So we talked via FaceTime, and they said, oh, you're a counselor. And I said, yes, I'm a counselor. And they said, well, how are you a counselor? And I said, well, what do you mean? And they said, well, your parents told me that the reason you're estranged from them is because you have mental health issues. And I said, really? So it was because my father abused me and I exposed it to the family. I must have misunderstood that. So it was really hurtful. But, you know, you have to just stand tall and know who you are and know what you stand for, know what you've been through, and know what you healed from. And to anyone listening, no matter what you're going through and how alone you feel, you're not. You're never alone. So thank you so much. I look forward to hearing the rest, Rick.
Yeah, you're right. You never not with this family. That's the you can count on this family, hands down. That I know.
Well,
was that Linda Graziano? Was that Linda Graziano?
No, Linda Vitti.
Okay, I'm sorry, Vitti. Okay, you
That's
sound
okay.
like Linda Graziano.
Well, Linda, thank you so much for coming on this evening, and we look forward to bringing you back on the next round of our panel. Next, I'm going to Joe out of Oregon, also my co-host, also an ambassador. Joe does a little bit of everything for NASCA. Joe, welcome back. You're on with Rick.
Thank you. Thank you. Hi, Rick. I wanted to I guess I was trying to figure out the difference between a five-year-old girl being raped gets sympathy, but a five-year-old boy being raped gets accused of being gay or asking for it or deserving it or whatever. And I can never understand the difference. When you're 5 years old, you're not asking for it. And now you've clearly explained how that really costs you a lot from your family and from your first wife, how they just twist it all around.
I think they don't want to face it, but it's also like a culture. I was actually I can remember one time sitting in a bar back when I was a barfly. That's all I would do at night, sit at old bars, old time Italian bars, and two of the guys, there was a news story about this young boy that it happened to him, and they started talking amongst themselves and saying, well, you know, they're born that way. So, you know, they know each other. And I go, what are you talking about? And he says, well, they're born that way. I mean, and they use vulgar words to describe a gay man and said they know this from birth. And I looked right at him and I said, so how do you know, that they know at 5 years old? You don't even have development of sexuality yet. So how do you know that? And then we were going on, I was debating him, and I said, so what happened to me, you're going to tell me that I'm gay? Oh, no, not you, Rick, not you. You get all the ladies. You're not gay. I said, well, then why did it happen to me? They didn't know that. Now they're staring face to face to a survivor, and it shocked them. They didn't know what to do, you know? So I didn't get angry. I don't fight them. I just put it right in front of their face. That mindset of yours is wrong. It doesn't. I said then, and I went really descriptive. I said, so if you were five, and I took a Coke bottle and raped you with a Coke bottle, would you be attracted to bottles of Coke for the rest of your life? I said that doesn't make sense to what you just said. Well, yeah, you're right. You're right. It doesn't make sense to me why it is. You know, I don't know. And then I always often quote, who is it? Was it Freud? No, who is the psychologist from way back when, the famous one there? But he always said, people who are angry at homosexuals are struggling with the hate they have for themselves because they are attracted to men. You know what I mean? So being that's the anger issue. They're fighting within themselves, but as far as a child, anyone that's sexually attracted, and I hate using that word because there's nothing sex about it. It's straight up violence.
It's not.
So anyone like that, it's got some problem, something going on that of a general hate within their own soul. It's got nothing to do with sex. It's got nothing to do with any of that. Period. You know. I try to educate. I really do on this. I don't get angry anymore. Well, when I say back in the day, how angry I was, I'm like 5'11", 5'10". I probably weigh 175 pounds. But back in the day, I was so angry that I would go into, biker bars, and I would stare down a guy 250, 300 pounds and just to get in a fight. And halfway through, angry. I just wanted to fight. And I don't have that anger in my soul anymore. I don't. I have such compassion. I've never had that. I've never had compassion. I've never had the joy, and I have it today.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing how you got that joy. So thank you very much. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Joy. I appreciate it. Boy, brother, I almost want to start singing, I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Don't worry. I won't give up my day job. I promise. I think I hear the dogs howling outside already. We're going to go up Bellamy, Washington. What's that, buddy?
I said I sing that song all the time.
Nice. Well, I don't know if I would call what I was singing. I was probably more like croaking it out like a frog. But anyway, Penelope from Washington's on with you. Penelope, you're on with Rick.
Hi, thanks, Charlie. Hi, Rick. Penelope from Bellevue, Washington. And I just first of all want to say thank you for sharing the first part of your story. And you're so articulate. I agree with Linda. I mean, and that's unfortunately so much of what you stated resonated with me, especially you talked about how you had, numbed yourself, to a lot of the pain in different ways, even, physically, your pain tolerance. And, that reminds me of just what a lot of us do as children that, live through such a horrific painful, it's almost an intolerable type of pain, not only physically, but I think, as was mentioned, more so emotionally, and how we dissociate from that pain by just numbing ourselves. And I was wondering if you had done any, you know, work in your healing process about, you know, looking at just dissociation and, you know, and the numbing of the self, because it sounds like you've, you know, must have done some of that work, because you're obviously facing the pain and talking about it and addressing it.
Well, work-wise, I read a lot. I read, you know, from, like, I won't ever go to, when I was seeing someone for this, I never went to somebody who never actually went through what I went through. Never. Mm-hmm. I would never talk to anyone, because I would sit there and say, well, how do you know what I'm feeling? Pain-wise, when I was younger, 15 years old, smoking cigarettes, I used to sit outside a pizza parlor, and I would bet on how long you could keep a cigarette on the top of your wrist. And if you look at both my hands, I can't count how many cigarette burns I got on my wrist, and one of them got to be at least 3/4 inch long. I stood there until it went out. It went out because of the blistering of the skin. So the pain level, I could shut off. What I believe got me to, you know, step past that is I let myself be vulnerable. I finally opened up to one person who I married now. She was my best friend. She went through all this crap with me. She's still next to me. We married a few years back. Best thing I ever did. But she's the first person I have opened up myself to actually trust. I'm not afraid, you know, and she knows my weaknesses, but she also knows I'm not weak. So I think that was probably a major step on me getting past the pain. I still get, I still get a little tear sometimes, or when I hear a story like the story, I really couldn't watch it on Netflix about this poor little boy in Lancaster, California. I mean, it just broke my heart to hear that story. And I did shed a tear reading that story, but I didn't fight it because I don't want to fight it. I want to feel that. I want to feel other amounts of pain because I cut it off so much. And every time I do, I feel stronger. I don't, you know, I'm not afraid to cry. Doesn't make me less of a man. I'm not afraid to feel for somebody I don't know. I'll feel for any soul that, you know, that's hurting. Even when I go on the group and I read these things, and some of them I just feel compelled to reach out to, you know, and a lot of them I smile and say, you know, I know it's tough for you, but it's the best step you can do. You got to face it, you know. It's like jumping into a pool. You know what I mean? You know it's really cold water, but you just got to jump in. And once you get in, that shock of the cold water's over, you know, it doesn't feel so bad.
So what you just articulated literally reminds me of a quote I just heard today. This is so weird. It's Carl Jung, the famous Swiss psychologist, and his quote was, "The price of consciousness is pain." Like, the price of awareness, of naming what happened to you, is pain, is that emotional pain. I just very, very coincidental that you articulated that. But it's absolutely, which is, I think, what you had mentioned, why NASCA is so amazing, because you have this family that actually has, unfortunately, we've all walked in those shoes, and we understand that pain. We don't condemn each other for it. We, you know, empathize.
Yeah, you don't feel alone. You don't feel like, you know, you're all by yourself here suffering alone. You know, and the more people you have around you, that suffering gets less and less because they're there. And not the ones that are only around for the moment. You know, oh, geez, why are you calling me at 2 in the morning? You know what I mean? It's like you're becoming an annoyance, and then all of a sudden you shut back down again. You know, that's a hard thing that makes, you know, it's a I don't know, it's a tricky game. It's like Chinese checkers. It's a tough game to learn. There's a lot of moves, but once you learn it, it's a good game.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely it's definitely linear. it's not, it doesn't flow, does it?
No, no, it's, no. I mean, you're going to always have a, you're always going to have a left-hand turn when you think the road's going straight, and how you handle that left-hand turn is the most important. Even now today, I mean, my wife and I, my wife's in a very high-pressure job, but, you know, she's so happy doing it. That's her thing. And I'm not like, I'm always looking out saying, you know, here, come here, let me do this. Oh, hold on, I got to do this. Well, here, wait, so I'll cook something for her, you know, take a minute. What if she has just 5 minutes of not thinking about something? You know, just to keep, you know, you got to grab a little bit when you can, because you can't have it all the time. That's life. Life is always ever changing. You know, just don't get comfortable in the seat. It gets crazy sometimes.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. But it just sounds like you've got a wonderful partner in your wife, and I'm really happy for you that you have that. It's really helpful.
Yeah, she's my best friend. Probably the only one that ever understood me, doesn't judge me, you know. She's a tough one. She's tough. She's beautiful. She's all woman, but... boy, when I, you know, when she's there, she knows what she'll see it right away. You all right? You know, or something happened a little while back, and I didn't even wake up. But she said, and never since I've been with her, I don't know, 10 years. She says, never have I seen you scream like that in your sleep. And I don't even remember having it. I can't remember having a bad dream in my life. But something must have happened. I must have had a dream, because she said I was. She had to wake me up. She was afraid to wake me up, and she didn't. I didn't wake up. And then the next morning, I was woke up. Everything's fine. And she said, "How are you?" And I said, "I'm great. Why?" And then she told me, and I started thinking, "Well, geez, I don't even remember having that dream." She says, "Never in since you've been with me did I let out a scream like that." And the way my fists were clenched, and I said, "Did I say anything?" She says, "No. You would just a blood curdling scream." And I've never. That I know of ever have done that. So she's,
wow.
I'm very thankful. I'm thankful that she's in my life. And like I said, I am so thankful that I met Bill. Thankful I joined this group. I mean, I can't say it enough. I don't know where
amen.
I'd be if I had
amen
not.
Amen to that.
Yep. I don't know where I'd be today. I'm grateful to you guys too. Love you all. Hand to God.
Penelope, thank you for your time. Thank you for being a member of our panel tonight, and continue to be for our next round. We do have one more panelist. Sylvie has been patiently waiting a little over half an hour. Let's get Sylvie back on. Sylvie, you are on with Rick.
Thank you, because I've been dying to say a whole bunch of stuff. You know, Penelope, what you said about the truth. The truth is power, no matter how painful. I can no longer live in denial, and I thank God after a profound spiritual awakening in 2018 that I am awake, and I get more awake every day. The fact is that we live in a society, and everything you have said, all of you, shows that is very perverse. Black is white, white is red, and everybody is telling you one thing, but yet things are corrupt, things are racist, things are sexist, people are getting hurt, everybody denies it, everybody lives their own little petty lives, walks over homeless people on their way to Nordstrom's, and this is the perverse society that we live in. To be able to see that makes life very, very rich.
Right.
It makes, you know, I see it. And I have a soul, just like Rick. I look at you. Oh my God, what a beautiful soul you have! The quote that I love is Joseph Campbell's quote: "The privilege of a lifetime is being yourself." I am truly myself, and baby, I don't fit the cookie cutter. No how, no way.
Know.
I am 68. I don't look it, act it, feel it, talk it, or write it. And Rick, that's what I see in you. You have arrived. You have transcended your past. Your past is your purpose now, just like my past is my purpose. I am so incredibly blessed to be able to turn my pain around into service. And I want to tell you something. I cry every day. every day I cry. And you know what? I do not apologize for my tears. And I have the ugly cry on my face, and I don't give a rat's ass who sees it or who doesn't like it. That's me. And guess what? I am more normal than anybody, because you know what, in this society,
right,
we have little kids who stop crying, and then all of a sudden we have frozen hearts. Look around at,
right,
people. They're dead. Okay,
Honey,
2 years ago I had a glacier sitting over my heart of uncried,
right,
tears, and oh my God, now I have a cool breeze flowing through my heart. Oh,
wonderful,
my God, my life is so rich.
Beautiful.
I feel despair every day. I cry every day, but I feel bliss every day. You cannot have the bliss if you do not have the tears.
I hear you. You're right. How does what Rick shared this evening, his stories resonate with you? What in his story is
well, Rick is so incredibly authentic. He is okay with himself, and every word he says proves that. I can see myself in Rick. I am Rick. I can see,
okay,
the same authenticity. I can see the same joy, the joie de vivre. His soul is intact. He got his soul back. He can see through all the hypocrisy of his family. And guess what? Guess what? I'm only talking to one family member, the one who treats me okay. Listen, I have forgiven, but forgiveness is for me,
right,
so I can get on with my life.
Understood,
okay?
And we appreciate you being here. Hey, Rick, any insight for Sylvie? Anything you want to share with Sylvie while she's on with us?
No, she's hot shit, man. I like the fire. I like the fire, man.
Oh.
She's making me smile.
Good, good. I just wanted to, and Sylvie, I wasn't attempting to cut you off. I apologize if it seemed that way. And you were going to be a special guest on Monday, I believe you told me earlier. I just want to make sure that we keep
Monday the 27th, honey. That's two weeks from this Monday.
I just want to make sure that we keep tonight's show focused around Rick and his story, but we do appreciate,
absolutely,
you bringing your insight and how it walks alongside Rick's story. And so, yeah, fire. I'm not on hosting that show. I'll probably join the panel, but we'll take a look at that. I'll talk to the powers that be and see what happens. But I will tell you, Sylvie, that all of our hosts at NASCAR are wonderful, caring, loving people, and all volunteers. We all do what we can to make a difference. So I'm certain whoever is hosting your show that evening will be the person that the universe, God, whatever you want to call it, placed there for such a time as that. Mm-hmm. So
I'm
excited to hear that. So I love your energy, though. Yeah, you are a firecracker, and that's awesome.
Mm.
So actually, you're not a firecracker. That's small. You're a quarter stick of dynamite. So, Sylvie, thank you so much. And just wait to express what was going on inside of you. And thank you for your understanding of my having to kind of tone it back a little and bring Rick back into the
picture.
So we appreciate it.
Absolutely.
We thank you for being here. So, Rick, we're back to you, my brother. We're going to allow you to continue on. But before we do, I do want to say, if you're out there listening right now, and you feel a penchant to want to have your voice heard, maybe you've never had your voice heard. Maybe you're just saying, you know what, I just want to quick say hello. Well, I want you to dial 646-595-2118. My amazing co-host, Joe, will come on. She'll find out who you are, and she'll let me know what you want to do. And if it's just a simple hello to get your voice heard, by all means, whatever it takes to open that door for you to begin that next step in your journey, we are here. Now, if you heard this afterwards, and you can't call in because the show's no longer live, well, guess what? Monday through Friday nights, there's a show every night, Monday through Friday, from 8 to 9:30 Eastern time. And you folks across the rest of the United States can figure out your time zones. Call in live any of those nights or go on the NASCAR's website. As Rick mentioned earlier in the show when he came on, there's phone numbers on there, and there's people that will listen and talk to you. You are part of a family. You are a brothers and our sisters. There's no judgment. There's no push of any spiritual belief system. We believe that we're here to support one another wherever we are at that moment. Rick, thank you for allowing me to bring that piece in there about NASCAR. And as time would have it, which is always we say when we start these shows, boy, an hour and a half, that's a long time. But as time would have it, it goes rather quickly. So, Rick, take it away.
Well, the whole I was just thinking while you were saying about, you know, getting your voice heard, and, you know, I was thinking about how many times I wanted to say something, but I was afraid to, of the people that were actually in my life, the ones I saw every day. I was afraid of what would happen, and in my case, I was right. You know, I'm thinking if I had kept my mouth shut, you know, and a lot of people wouldn't be angry or hurt or, you know, ashamed and that kind of thing. So, I mean, I'm sure there are plenty of people out there that are in that same spot. And like you said, this is it. This is the spot where to come and talk and at least say something and that feeling just to get it out, you know. And like I said, the very first time I did this radio show, if you listen to it, I can't have a hard time talking. I started talking and I kept choking up. I couldn't talk. And, you know, it's hard to get it out the first time, but I don't know, just living proof, I guess, to say that get it out, you know, and the more you do and the more you embrace yourself and keep talking about it, you can get to that point where, you know, it is. And the healing part, you know, and they say that, you know, it never goes away. That's what I kept thinking. It never goes away. But I view it now as, you know, it's a scar. You know, the scars are a reminder, but it doesn't hurt when you touch the scar anymore. You know, and with me, that's what
Absolutely. It is. Absolutely. And over time, the scar softens. You know, over time, the scar softens. And almost some scars become somewhat invisible, except we still see them.
Yeah. And one guy said to me, when I was talking to him, he had reached out to me and on the Facebook thing, and I talked to him for quite a bit, and I told him, I said, because he was all worried about, you know, women, because he got rejected once he said something, and I said, you know, just don't listen to that one. There are so many people out there. You don't have to worry about it. And I go, and hey, listen, chicks dig scars. You know, and he just started laughing. You know. And, He opened up a little bit, and, you know, don't worry if one person judges you. I mean, that's just one person with a closed mind. And if a person judges you, you know, move on to just keep going, and that's not the end of your road. And, you know, if it does happen to you, don't think that, you know, that was a mistake. It's not a mistake to talk about it. That was my problem, my error. I thought it was a mistake for so long. And it's not a mistake. I did the right thing.
Absolutely. You started to say a word and you stopped yourself. So I'm thinking I'm right, and if I'm wrong, I apologize in advance for what I'm about to say. But I think I heard you say, if they don't like it, screw them. But you stopped yourself in the middle of screw them. So there, I said it for you.
I wasn't gonna say screw them, but I was gonna use the F word. I didn't want to be that harsh. You know what I mean? I didn't want to be like that. But I'm trying to. You know, I grew up in an environment where that's, you know, that was you threw that out a lot, you know, and I'm trying not to do that. You know, I'm trying to talk a little less. I mean, my wife would say we go out and have a good time and we'll meet some people, whatever, start talking, and she'll go, okay, what, you're saying the F-bomb quite a bit. I don't even realize it, so I'm sorry.
No. I heard what those guys say, screw it. I was like, come on, Rick, say it, buddy. So, well, work them if they can't take a joke. That's what I said. So anyway, folks, I do want to say this as well. You may hear laughter when you're on these shows, and that's okay. We have to be able to laugh. Humor sometimes is a healing power in and of itself. And we're not laughing at the story or about the story, but we're laughing at how we're laughing in joy a lot of times. About where we are today. And yeah, sometimes a little bit of slapstick, sarcastic humor, especially if I happen to be hosting, it just might happen every now and then. But anyway, Rick, you are so amazingly articulate, and such strength coming through such adversity in your past. And I can really identify when I'm listening, read about your story again with your family and the rejection. I mean, again, tonight's not my story, but it's like, boy, do I know that rejection. When I went back, when I started exposing what happened to me, and, oh, my goodness, people that I thought, you know, they call themselves family came attacking, like, viciously, like, tearing down everything I've been creating for decades. And it was unbelievable. But perseverance stood the test of time. I don't have any conversations with my full-blooded sister or my half-brother and half-sister, and that's okay because I've got all this family here. So, yeah, I can really identify with that. So, and I too had a tragic experience when I was 4 years old in foster care. It wasn't rape, which is, I mean, just bizarre to me. But you know, I don't know how anybody can look at a child and see anything of sexual nature. I see a child and I see protection. Stand behind me. Anybody gets near you, I got you. But so really identify with that. And I'm glad you're in, that you give me hope that somewhere out there. I've been on the used guy lot since 1994 when my wife traded me in and left me out there. And maybe someday somewhere out there that right person will come along and I'll get off the used guy lot. But I'm not in any hurry because there's a lot of work I got to get done. But anyway.
Yeah, the best thing for you to do is don't look. Because when you turn around and you look over your shoulder and they're standing right there, then you know you got a good one.
Okay. Well, I took the rearview mirror out of my car a long time ago, so I don't have to look in the back. So anyway, but I love your energy, your enthusiasm, and I like your realness. When I heard your voice crack a little, that shows me somebody's being real. We men, have we not, Rick, been taught, suck it up, you're a man. Real men don't cry. You know, I mean, you can give me some sure yourself. You know, and it's such a unfairness to males. It's a masculinity. You know, we require that. Otherwise, we end up doing the things like what you were saying, getting out and getting in the fights. I also identified earlier in your story where you talked about you wouldn't generally necessarily go out to hurt someone intentionally on your own. You would hurt yourself first. And, boy, is that so me. Like, I will go in a room and beat myself down, literally, before I hit someone. And I can identify. And, like I said, if we both failed at any one thing in life, I'm glad we both failed at attempting to take our lives, because we wouldn't be here right now, and I wouldn't be blessed to be in your presence and in the presence of Linda and Joe and Penelope and Sylvie and all the other people that may be listening that aren't calling in. Bill, who I know is listening, and he's not in the panel, but he is listening, and he does monitor our shows, and that's why I got the messages back for you, Rick. But wow, just amazing. Rick, do you have children by any? Oh, you do have children. You did mention that. Do you have any children that do interact with you at this time?
No, I have two sons. That's it. They're going on in the 30s now. My youngest son, I don't know, got to be like six years ago maybe or so. I reconnected with him, and the overbearing of his mother just put a kibosh on that. My oldest son is still so angry. I don't know if he's angry because of what I am. I don't know if he's angry that the marriage didn't work out. He was told a lot of lies by his mother. And, you know, he's angry. And when he would lash out on me, I mean, he would just send me, you know, messages on that. That's why I have this other name now. But he would send me messages of just full-on anger and hate. And my replies were like, you know, you got to get some help with that. You know, you got to see the whole picture. You know, and I'm not going to apologize for speaking out. I'm not going to apologize. And my ex-wife said, well, you owe him an apology. You know, you should. I'm not. What apology do I have to owe him? Well, you left. I didn't leave. You and I divorced. I was still there. You know what? She should be apologizing. But he's very angry. You know, and I can't fix that. I can't. The only what they want out of me is to say that I was wrong for saying it. For, you know, I was wrong for being who I was. And I'm not wrong for that. I might have traveled in a group, if you will, a type of social circle when I was younger. You know, not the greatest type of guys. You know, I did things. My anger back then, you know, made me money. You know, people owed money. I would go get it. You know, and I thought that was a big thing. When I would walk into a bar back in the 80s and the 90s, if they saw me in the bar, they would kind of panic because, oh, who is he here to talk to? I mean, I wasn't a good man back then, but I was never a coward where I abused a younger or a weaker or a woman. Never. I never, ever did that. Anyone that I ever got violent with back then was always a grown man. And like I said, I'm not a big guy. I mean, I'm lanky. I'm not nothing about it. But if you were saw me back then in my eyes, you knew. You know, don't. I was always angry. Now my eyes are not that way. I'm a little rough around the edges. I call it like I see it. And in this society today, with all the people with the anxiety, and you know, they read me as being a little rough or gruff. You know, I'm not that way. If you need something, I don't care if you're a stranger, and I've done it, I don't know how many times, I'll step in for anybody that I see needs the help, whether I know them or not. That's my nature now. So I've turned that fighter, that angry fighter, into you know, a protector now, because I can. Like, there's that line, you know, we could either be the sheep, the shepherd, or the wolf. You know, and I used to be the wolf. Now I'm the shepherd. I don't want to hurt. I don't like hurt. There's like this, the woman here just said, there is so much of that already out there. You know, I've seen people, you know, girls, you know, that I've seen couples, and they got a black eye, and they try to tell me, you know, I bumped into the wall. I know what's going on. So I go my little ways to start talking. Right? Say again?
Hey, Rick, I want to share something with you for a moment real quick. Okay?
Sure.
You said something a moment ago that you were this other person, and you're not that, you weren't who you are now then. I'm going to tell you, Rick, you wouldn't be who you are now if it wasn't already in you then. You just found it in you now, and now you're allowing that part of you to expose itself and be shared with the world, which you're now feeling you're being blessed with the blessings that come from that. So it's always been in you, brother. Otherwise, you wouldn't have it today. So, but I'm glad you are where you are today. I just want to get, hopefully those are words of encouragement for you.
Oh, absolutely. I appreciate that. Thank you. And back then, when I was doing the whole getting ready to die thing, and I saw my mother, she said that I was needed and that she loved me, and I could never figure out what she meant by needed. And I'm kind of sitting here to my life today, like, this is why, you know, I didn't do that, because I am needed in certain way. And I guess that's my purpose. I don't know. You'll never know what your purpose is, but I kind of believe in a way that that's probably what my purpose is. Who knows? You know, who knows? I don't know.
True.
But I don't.
True.
But I won't go back. You know, I won't go back there. I don't. Even we rescued a dog about 5 years ago, Dalmatian. He was 6 months old, going to be put down for what they call aggression issues. I got this boy home, and boy, he was a scary dog. And my wife said, I don't know if this is going to work out. Uh-uh. You know, I with that dog and I, he knows I love him. He, you know, he's not aggressive. It's just a change thing. So I said to my wife, maybe this is what I was supposed to be here for, to save this dog. I don't know. But every time I have something, I think back of that, you know, what was my purpose?
Yeah.
In general, this would be my purpose. You
right.
know?
They feel, animals feel your
like,
energy.
Rick. I was going to say, like your purpose, like what you said, your struggles, and look where you are right now. This is your purpose. This is why you didn't go through with what you were going to do. You know, look how many people you're helping now. So we all got a purpose.
Right. I do want to make another round of the panel. We are down to, I think, about a half an hour left of the show, roughly. I have to double-check my time. But I do want to make another round of the panel, give them a chance to come on. I know it's been a little bit over half an hour since our last panelist. But just to give a little more insight on where I am at the moment, I think, did I mention earlier 2 years ago today I was only hours from homelessness? And literally at 9 o'clock in the morning on April 9, 2018, I was supposed to be homeless. The agency that I came into to help me not end up homeless, I ended up starting working on that day. And today, 2 years later, I'm the executive director of that agency, still in my home. So anything can happen when you keep perseverance and faith alive. Let's get Linda in here from New Jersey. She's been patiently waiting to come back on. Linda, you are back home, correct?
Yeah, hi, Rick. Thanks so much for sharing. And I can really relate to what you're going through with your sons. I just want to encourage you that you know, I didn't believe some of my relationships could heal, and so many of them have. And I really know that the ones that aren't, God's healing them. So give your sons time. Sometimes it takes time for them to get rid of that anger. And I'm sure it's got to be difficult for you because part of the anger is a false anger because of what your wife said about you, your ex-wife, correct?
Yeah. And also, you know, I mean, I feel bad for them having to sit in the living room while I'm in my bedroom beating the crap out of a wall and breaking my hand, you know. They shouldn't have had to see that, and I'm sure they're angry at that. But, you know, I don't know. But my door is always open. When this woman called me and said my son was sitting there on Father's Day wishing his father was in his life, I even asked this woman, I said, you know, is he all right? Is he doing good? And, you know, does he have enough money? And this woman, she said, well, no, you know, he could do better. So I said, listen, I don't need to talk to him if he's not ready. But if you want to, I can meet you. And I was going to put $10,000 in his bank account. I don't want the kid to suffer.
Wow.
I don't. But they don't. I can't force it. I'm all wide open. It's, you know, I'm not the type of man where if they called me and said, hey, listen, I want you back in my life, I'm coming fast. Absolutely.
Right.
But I can't go back to someone's life where they want to attack me. You know, that I can't do. That's not right. But I keep my fingers crossed every day. I pray to God every day that one of them or both of them calls me. I really do. I want
yeah,
that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know.
As my son just lost his father. My son just lost his father, and he lost him angry, and it's haunting him. And so my prayer for you and your sons is that they heal from that anger and you guys get back together, because I know how that hurts your heart. I haven't talked to my niece or nephew in 10 years because I exposed the abuse, and it just breaks your heart that you're missing out. So that is definitely going to be my prayer for you, and I just want to thank you so much for your story. It was so inspiring, and especially a man speaking out about this. It's so important because there's boys out there that just feel they can't speak, and it's not, you know, it's not accepted. So this is so good to hear you. So thank you.
No, thank you.
Thank you very much. Hey, Rick, we did have a new call-in come in. She's on a lot of our panels. And I'm going to go ahead and other panelists, please be patient. I know you've been waiting, but Darlene out of Tennessee has joined us, and so I want to bring her in right now. Darlene, I don't know how much of Rick's story you've caught, but welcome and good evening. Darlene, are you on with us?
Oh, sorry, I had it muted.
That's okay. I just saw you came in and didn't get a chance first round, so I wanted to make sure we got in there. Penelope and Sylvie, I will be coming to you. Just, Darlene, go ahead. Have you caught any of Rick's stories so far tonight?
Well, I wanted to say that I had heard it when he was on there before, but I came back just a little bit. I didn't hear none of it tonight, but I just wanted to give Rick some support by being here. You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Darlene. We appreciate you being here. Darlene's one of our Southern Belles, if you can't tell by her accent. Darlene, we love you to life. And I want to say that to all of you, anybody out there that's listening now on the panel, not on the panel, and listening in the future. Charlie Stecker loves you to life, and it's for real. I stopped loving people to death a long time ago. Life is what we're living. So thanks, Darlene. Penelope, I'm coming to you next. Penelope in Washington, you are back on with Rick.
Thank you, Charlie. Well, Rick, I just, you know, a quick comment, not really a question, but are you smiling when you're speaking? Because honestly, I just feel you smiling as you're speaking, even as you're speaking about things that are just so personal, truthful, emotional. I just feel you're smiling, your sense of peace, and I'm wondering if you actually are smiling.
I'm always smiling. I've been smiling since I got on the show.
Yeah.
I'm a smile all the time. My wife, I make, when we wake up in the morning, she's laughing before she gets out of bed. When we go to sleep, I make sure she laughs before she goes to sleep. I always am smiling, and it's not a fake. It's not phony. And if I'm not smiling, she'll look at me and say, what's the matter? So I always smile now because I'm happy. I'm happy. I actually, like I said, I'm fulfilled and I'm happy. So, yeah, I definitely am. I'm smiling. Absolutely.
Well, I do, and I need to let you know that it's contagious because I can sense it over the phone without seeing you, and I'm smiling too. So whatever you're doing is working, and I just wish to thank you. You're just really inspiring, and I'm sure you know that. But
okay.
If you don't, and I know it's hard with the family when, you know, you're not getting sometimes the same sentiments, I just wanted to share that with you to let you know. Someone that's never seen you in person.
Well, I guess my job is done here.
Oh, well, I'm in the show.
They do call me the closer. I'm just kidding.
The show killer. It's beautiful. No.
Okay.
Nah, it's all in fun, Penelope. What a great – thank you so much for being on our panel tonight and being part of the show. We really appreciate you.
Oh.
We're going to go to
Sylvie
in Nevada again. Sylvie, you are back on with Rick.
Thank you. Actually, I'm blown away at both you and both Charlie and Rick for your kindness, for your compassion, for your softness. Listening to your story, Charlie, about how protective you are of children, that you, after everything you've been through, you are not a predator. And you too, Rick, you are not a predator. You are somebody who lifts people up. And my examples of men have been absolutely the opposite. Men have absolutely devastated my life. And I need to see men like you, men who have souls. And that's what I think I'm going to get in NASCA. So I want to thank you very much because it's obvious. Thank you so much.
I come across
wow.
a lot of men. I see them when I see guys. I'll see them treating people the wrong way, or their girlfriends, or something. And I say, hey, don't do that. I say, well, come on, you don't treat her like that. I mean, that's not the way you treat someone. But you know, it's just who I am. I don't sit back anymore. You know, other friends. Well, what are you gonna do? You're gonna go over there and tell them to knock that shit off. That's what you're gonna go tell them. And I've done it.
Oh,
I don't know how many times.
Mm.
Well,
so it's that time, you
I
know.
Say,
I was gonna say, like, you know, I know, men give men a bad name, you know, and it goes both ways. I mean, I have met a lot of women before I met my wife, and they were cold. They didn't have a heart. They were out for their own. You know, that's how this human thing. You know, not all men are that way. You got honestly, if he doesn't respect you, you know, doesn't concern for you, doesn't, you know, listen to how, you know, how'd your day go? Those are the things that will give you an indicator if the guy's a jerk or not. If it's all about him, you know, then you're going to have a problem. You know, and there are a lot of women that I've seen that are, they think that that's the way to keep a man, just do whatever that they say. And same with the men, you know, with women. You got to get respected first. You know, if they want you for something, they see with their eyes, and they don't see with their heart. They're not that's not a good man. That's a good way to start. You know, when you keep your eyes open.
Sylvie, I want to say thank you for your kind words. I wish I could say I've always been the man I am today. Unfortunately, in my younger years, I had anger and things that I didn't know how to channel. And unfortunately, I wasn't always the man I am today, but I praise God I am the man I am today. And, you know, I love my daughter's mother, who gave me the most awesome daughter in the world. You know, I know that I failed her and I fell short, but this many years later, I'm blessed to be who I am. And my daughter is with a man that I couldn't believe I would ever say that I love my daughter's significant other, but I absolutely so thank you so much for your accolades. And it is, it's wonderful to hear. It is very few of us men, Rick, that come out and speak out because we've been that man thing, you know, suck it up. Don't tell anybody. What are you talking about? Or, hey, if it's sexual abuse brought on to us by a woman, well, gee, that's what it was supposed to happen. What do you want? Come on, you're lucky. You were a lucky kid, you know. And was I really? Like, I dispute a lot about pornography. I was exposed to way too much. I was exposed to pornography at a young age and throughout my childhood that definitely affected my mind in my adult life. And I want to clarify, people get a little misconstrued, nothing with child pornography. If that was happened, we wouldn't be talking right now. I'd be either locked myself up or taken myself out before I'd hurt a child. But any pornography is sick and despicable. I don't know. I'm speaking my own thing, Rick. I want to go back to your story, but I apologize for kind of going off my own tangent there. But I truly appreciate you, Sylvie. The accolades.
My pleasure, sweetheart. Right back at you.
All right. Well, thank you. Rick, we have got, let me take a quick gander here. And there's a word, gander, huh? All right. We got about 10 minutes, Rick, so let's go about 5-6 minutes, share what you want, and then I do want to bring each panelist in so they can bid you a fond farewell. We never say goodbye. We always say see you later. But, Rick, you got about 5-6 minutes. Go ahead and shoot.
I don't know. I don't know what to say. I just got to live it right, live it whole. You know, don't hide. Don't hide from yourself. You know, I spent a lot of years brushing my teeth. I never looked myself in the mirror. Never.
Oh,
I would not look in the mirror. I couldn't look at my own. Good.
You sound like you can identify with one of my sayings I speak to. And by the way, I am now a certified counselor, believe it or not. All ironies. I have a high school diploma with no college, but I am a certified counselor, and that's what I do all day. But one of my sayings I say to people when I'm offering some insight to them is, no matter how far you run, you're still there. So you've got to be able to stop and face yourself. And that's similar to what you just said with the mirror. I brushed my teeth many a times with a mirror in front of me, but I never really looked in it. And powerful words. Powerful, brother. Well, Ben's, we're kind of running short on things to say. We got about 8 minutes. I'm going to go ahead and bring each panelist on and give them like a one and a half minute time. That way we have enough time at the end to close the show. So, panelists, as I bring you on, this is going to be your about a minute and a half with Rick. Share what you want with him. And I am asking you at the end of your minute and a half approximately, give your fond farewell to Rick, and appreciate that. So let's bring on Joe, again, my amazing co-host out of Oregon. Joe, you're back on with Rick.
Thank you. Rick, thank you so much. I feel so great that you're feeling good now, and that you have people who support you, and that you're just loving life for now. And thank you for sharing that. That gives me a lot of good feelings. So thank you.
And I thank you. I thank you for just getting here. You know, I thank everybody here, everyone listening, and the ones who hear it later, and All of this group. I mean, I'm thankful for you guys. I mean, if it wasn't for you guys, I wouldn't be here. This wouldn't be the man. So, you know, it wasn't me. It was you guys. Thanks for the help.
Well, I'm glad you're here. Glad you're here. Thank you.
And I'm glad all of us are here. And again, thank you to Bill Murray and the mindset he had to bring this together so many years ago. And, you know, a song jumped in my mind as I was closing out my apartment. Penelope, we're coming to you next. And it was, it jumped in my mind, I feel good, James Brown. don't worry, I won't speak because I want people to stay on and not run from the panel. But anyway, let's go ahead and bring on Penelope out of Wash. Penelope, you're back on with Rick. This is your closing comments and remarks.
Thank you, Charlie. And by the way, you can sing anytime. It's a talent that I do not possess. So it's all yours. I love it. But Rick, Rick, I just want to actually thank you for everything that you've shared tonight. And specifically, I want to make a comment about or just acknowledge what you had said about, you know, finding a family within NASCA. And as you shared some of the struggles that you've had, you know, with your own family and the reactions that you've gotten to your truth. And, you know, I've walked that journey as well with you. And it's this, you know, your family of origin and your children, you know, we love them. We're biologically bound, I think, in a way to love them. And it's, you know, it's really a painful part of the process. And just the way you articulated how much NASCA and your NASCA family has meant to you in this process of just living your truth. I want to thank you for those comments because they really resonated with me. And, it's always, good to find a fellow brother that feels the same way. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you for those comments, and I'm glad to have a sister like you. At least you laugh. You have some fun. You can't always be keeping it down. You won't go nowhere, you know?
Laughter is good medicine, for sure.
It is.
Definitely.
It is, absolutely.
Absolutely. Laugh with me or laugh at me. As long as you're laughing, I don't care. So, Penelope, thank you so much once again. Once again, just an awesome panelist, great interaction, and truly appreciate you being here. We're going to travel on down to Nevada, or I should say over to Nevada and down a little bit east and a little bit south to Sylvie. Sylvie, you're back on for closing remarks. You've got about a minute. Take about 2-3 minutes because time is going okay.
Thank you. Rick, I just wanted to thank you so much. I have learned so much from you. You are so inspiring. And one of the things you said at the end of your talk was that, I'm saying it in a different way, but you said everything, is that you are no longer running, and it is such a relief not to be running anymore and to face what you need to face, what I need to face, and that all the pain is in the resistance. And when I relax and just let it happen, then that's heaven on earth. That's heaven on earth. And you've reminded me of that. Thank you so much for your talk tonight. You're very, very inspiring. I can't wait to listen to you again.
Well, thank you very much. You're right. You know, the running, that's you keep running, it takes your breath away. You know, you don't have time to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is what it is. Well, you know who you are. You can choose to sit with anger. You can say, why am I angry all the time? You choose to say you're not good enough when you know you are. You know, I mean, everybody knows they're good enough. You can't go that way. You'll never get ahead. And that's all I did with my whole life. I thought I was a loser. I thought I deserved it. I thought I caused too much pain for everybody else, and I was wrong. You know, I am who I am, and I smile every day. Like Charlie said, you know, thank God we didn't do what we were thinking of doing.
Well, thank you so much, Sylvie. You've been a wonderful guest tonight, member of our panel. Truly appreciate you being here, sharing your insights and your enthusiasm and your energy.
Thank you.
I'm definitely looking forward to you on the 27th.
Thank you.
Next, we're going to bring back in Darlene. I know Darlene came in a little later this evening, but there's no time is too late. It's always right on time. So, Darlene, you're back on the air with Rick.
Hello, Rick. I want to thank you for coming back on the air and sharing your story. Even though I missed some, I could always go back to that Blog Talk Radio and listen to the full show. Thank you so much and I'm glad you found the love of your life also after searching. And you're right about whichever one of y'all said, as far as you keep running, you're always going to be there with yourself, so you can't run away from yourself no matter what you try, you know? So, and as I give a curtsy, a farewell, and waving my little fan in front of me, y'all have a good one.
Thank you. Rick, I got about 30 seconds for you to share some parting thoughts, and then we do have to close the show out, brother.
Well, first, Charlie, it's a pleasure to meet you and be talking to you like that. I've never talked to you, and I think you're a really strong man, and, you know, your education is a lot further than mine. I mean, I didn't make it past the 8th grade, to be honest with you. I started working after that. And I'm glad you're there. You're a great person, and the panel here, all these women, they were just good people and a lot. And a shout-out to the Tennessee woman there. Love Knoxville. Was just down there a couple months ago on my way to Alabama Shore for a week, but yeah, all of you are nice people, and I loved all the calls, and I was excited to be here, and it was well worth it. So, thank you, thank all the NASCA family, all my brothers and sisters.
That's right. Well, Rick, we thank you, and tonight, folks, it has been special guest Wednesday night show, Charlie hosting. Joe co-hosting. Our special guest tonight was none other than Rick Constantino out of New Hampshire. My name is Charlie Stecker, and as I sign every show off, I sign off once again with this. The only adult not responsible for child abuse intervention and prevention is any adult who themselves was never a child. Good night.
Radio.